you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So believe it or not, once upon a time, I got in trouble with my parents. And I was being lectured, and I don't remember what I did. You can use your imagination. But it must have been something public, because I do remember the lecture. And the phrase that stuck with me was, "What is your name?" Justin. No, what is your full name? Justin Paskert. Paskert. That's my name. That's your dad's name. That's your family's name. That name that you act in is a reflection of us all. The weight of it. It's not just like me and myself, but like the full weight of, I represent the family everywhere I go. It's just that kind of broader vision of, yeah, it's not just the me and what I do in the darkness, but like what we do affects other people. But even just to go around like carrying the name of somebody else, acting in their name. And certainly I never really thought about what does it mean to represent the family. Our feast today, the baptismal of the Lord, is really kind of a stumbling block kind of in theology. Because just to kind of put into context, you have John the Baptist doing a very symbolic act. Like, it's a symbol, not a sacrament, and it is a symbol of repentance. And so John goes to the Jordan, crosses to the other side, that is the desert side, that the Israelites wandered for 40 years, calling all of Israel, all of Judea, back to him in the desert, and saying, "Repent, and we need to cross the river again, be immersed through this river again, and enter into the promised land again, because we're living here, but we're not really entering into what this is supposed to be." And so, this act of repentance, like, hey, we messed up, let's go back to the beginning, let's restart things, and start trying to do this the way it's supposed to be. So, okay, great. Us, as fellow sinners, makes perfect sense. But then Jesus, who is God, who never sinned, why is he doing this? And this was so kind of confusing even to the early church. Like, they couldn't say it didn't happen. But in the telling of it, we get the little detail of, hey, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? That even when Jesus is doing it, it wasn't understood even in the telling. But this feast day is the conclusion of our Christmas season. As in, when you're going to start telling the story of Jesus, you have to start somewhere. And so, well, if you want to know where he came from, well, we could talk about his birth. If you want to go back further, we can talk about the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So he existed before everything. But then comes when he started his public ministry. And so this being the end of our telling of how this all started, we end with the Feast of the Baptism. And so from here, we go into ordinary time, like the ministry of Jesus. But why did he choose to do this as his starting point? In kind of in the geography of the area, this is right next to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on earth that is not underwater. And so this being a place that is actually kind of the lowest part of God's creation, and then Jesus being immersed into the water there, well, the God who is above the highest of heavens, descending to the lowest place, descending to where all of these repentant sinners are gathered. And so he's joining them there. But from this point, is really the ascent, where you start climbing up the mountain that will be about 5,000 feet below sea level to about 3,000 feet above sea level. So it's an 8,000-foot ascent. And so symbolically, we could even see in this all of Jesus' ministry. Like, he starts it here at the lowest place and climbs the mountain to the temple in Jerusalem for his crucifixion. So his 3 years of ministry suspended in this space. But then to describe what is happening, we use the word baptism, which is a wonderful Greek word called baptism. And we just kind of imported it right into English. And if we wanted to kind of really translate it, it would be something along the lines of like being submerged, being immersed, like shoved underwater. You know, so it's a verb that's just describing this action of just like getting pushed in the midst of something. And so this is not our baptism. This isn't what happened to us at the baptismal font. This is something that happened to Jesus, that he was baptized into us. God, who is spirit, becomes flesh and immerses himself in our broken humanity. He joins us in our messiness, our brokenness, our being lost, wandering out in a desert, not even knowing where we're going. So just imagine the desire of God, who desires to be with us in our brokenness and us being lost, confused, not knowing where we're going, that he wants to be there with us. The wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever is happening, God desires to be there with you. So when you're going to class tomorrow, when you go to work, when you're going to your leisure time, when you're doing something you'd rather not be doing, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, God desires, like he wants to be there with us, to enter into the deepest, most broken parts of ourselves, which gives us the wonderful gift of that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God is present. Like we can encounter him there. He's waiting for us already there. So always in the now. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't need to fix anything. He's here. And so I can meet God here. But from this point, from the baptism, Jesus starts a journey. And he's constantly calling disciples to follow him, to follow him on this journey. So much so with this image of like Jesus asks us to follow him, the first Christians really didn't know what to call themselves. And so they came up with the ever marketable title, we're followers of the way. Jesus is the way, so we're just going on that way. And then a little bit later, in the Acts of the Apostles, it tells us in the city of Antioch is when they first were called Christians. And that is, they didn't call themselves that. The people around them, meeting them, started calling the early Christian community Christians, as in the name of Christ. That they start taking on the very identity of Jesus himself. So then comes our baptism. Being immersed into water, that we bring our humanity to be immersed into God's divinity. So God's divinity that first met us, then we go to him. So that there's this beautiful mutual exchange. And in the sacrament, we often talk about like what happens to us there. And one of the first things we always hear about, I'm going to open up the catechism, and I'll talk about the forgiveness of sins. No matter what, everything is just washed away. And so this wonderful act of being cleansed, it's like, yes, I don't have to carry around this weight anymore. Finally free. But this is merely a side effect. This is not the purpose of baptism. This isn't saying, I'm sorry and I'm forgiven. This is preparing a dwelling place. That here's a rundown, falling apart house. God cleans it. And then he sends his Holy Spirit to take up a permanent residence. That the fundamental mystery of baptism is that God made you and me his home, permanently and forever. That the deepest part, the deepest truth of who we are is God living within us. So that our very identity, who we are, is the very spirit of Jesus himself living in us. So much so, St. Paul, over and over again, trying to hit us on the head, reminds us, are you unaware, my brothers and sisters, that you are the body of Christ? If it's his spirit living within us, then our flesh, our humanity, everywhere we go, what we're doing is participating in the very life of Christ. So that our identity is the identity of Jesus himself. It's who we are. But even as I'm saying this right now, and I said it this morning, I still scandalize myself in saying it. Because immediately comes to mind, yes, but. Here's all of the reasons that's not true. I list it every time I go to confession. Here's my sins. Here's my weakness, my brokenness. Jesus is so much greater. He's the help that I need. I can't be him. But to be a Christian isn't to imitate Jesus. It's not to be inspired by. It's not to be a copycat. It's to stand in the spirit of God himself. And it is still who we are. That we become the children of God. That is our family, our identity. And then comes the scandal that we cause other people. The scandal of being who we are. The scandal of not being who we are. And yet, God truly dwells here. And I would say in this very mystery, we're presented with a question. That this is a journey. So that where we're at right here, right now, God is present. But what is he asking of us? What is that very next step on our journey? If he's calling us to follow him, well, what does that one next step look like? In my experience in prayer, this is the place where we stop praying. It's like, God's close to me. He's loving me. Everything's right with the world. And then comes that moment where he's asking me, like, okay, now what? That thing you're afraid of, that place you'd rather not go, that place of vulnerability, that place of pain, yeah, I'm going to meet you there. Come this way. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go distract myself. I'm sure there's something I haven't seen on Netflix yet, right? To enter into that, to take that next step. And I would say this is the place where we need a lot of courage. Where the journey goes is heaven. Jesus already went there. He is pulling us there through the very gift of the Spirit. That he wants all of his body, his flesh, to ascend to the right hand of the Father. His mission, his work. But then comes the next step in our journey. Can I say yes to that? And so as we're kind of entering into, say, a new semester, kind of making our plans, a new year, our resolutions, well, where's that place that the Spirit is calling me to live ever deeper my identity in Christ, to take ownership of who we are, to be the beloved children of God with whom he is well pleased?